episode 206 of Brutal Battle. Yes, this is the third and final installment in the recording session with Mr. Nathan Kolasnik. I'm still sipping on a little bit of this old stock, 2015 old stock by North Coast. That's what high ABV will do to you folks. It'll make it a little bit harder to process things.
I finished mine last week. Carlin, for whatever reason, insisted on keeping it around.
Yeah, exactly. It's been sitting in this glass for a week. It's highly oxidized.
Pro tip, you put a piece of cellophane or saran wrap over the top, keeps it for about a week.
Does it? No.
That's a lie.
Actually, a way you can keep it, I think I've said it on the podcast before, but I think it's been a while since I did. There are things called wine vacuums. And I messed with this before. If you don't care about having a lot of carbonation left, but you want to keep the flavor of the beer for, you know, a few days, you can get these things that are called wine vacuums, which is like a little rubber stopper that has like a hole in the top that closes up, but you put like a little suction thing on top and you just kind of like pump it and it slowly sucks the air out of the bottle and then it'll keep it kind of, you know, without air. The other thing you can do is argon spray. That's another thing that they do for wines. That is probably more expensive, though, honestly, so I probably wouldn't go that route. But if you really want to, you just kind of, like, spray a little bit of the argon in there. It's a gas that kind of just sits on the top, so it becomes a layer between the liquid and any oxygen. So it keeps it from getting oxygenated. So that's used for wine a lot, both of those things. So it works for beer, but once again, I was like I said, if you don't care about the carbonation, because that carbonation will be pretty much gone, especially when you're doing like a sucking motion to get air out, you're going to pull a lot of the carbon dioxide out. So, but it preserves the flavor, so it depends on what you want. So sour beers, honestly, it could be pretty awesome for, because carbonation doesn't matter that much in sour beers. Dark beers, a little bit as well. So anyway, we don't have any warm-up beers for this because we have warm-up beers for the last two. Like I said, I'm still sipping on this old stock, which is tasting good, as you would assume. So might be a short topic, might be a long topic. It depends on how we go with it. But I wanted to throw out this thing that kind of enraged me a little bit. So on social media, I happened to see that a liquor store not too far from where I live, I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to call them out specifically, because I think they're good people. It just, you know, I took issue with this. They were doing a Randall event. And for anyone out there who doesn't know what a Randall is a device that was created by Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head that's a way to kind of infuse kegged beer with other things. You know, you can just, like, put some sort of ingredient in it, like, you know, like chopped up peaches or whatever, or like wood soaked in bourbon or whatever, and you put it in the little Randall, you know, you hook up a hose, it'll run the beer from the keg through the Randall and then into whatever you're putting it in, whether it be a glass or a growler or a crowler or whatever. So it'll just kind of like add some stuff. I think it typically works best when you just throw extra hops in there, so it's like a fresh dry hopping going on. But so there were this local liquor store put on social media, they were having a special event where they were going to have Hops the Cat on tap, which is a very good IPA by Full Tilt Brewing, which is out of Baltimore. And it's kind of like a nice, like, citrusy IPA, very tasty. And it was around Easter time, and they were going to Randall the beer. They were going to do two different Randalls for Hops the Cat. Now, see what you think about these. Marshmallow Peeps was one of them. And the other one was Jelly Beans. And it looked like it was Jelly Bellies, but not one flavor, but just
all the flavors.
All the flavors. So
hopefully it wasn't Bean Boozled.
Yeah, no, hopefully it wasn't Bean Boozled, because you'd end up with, what, canned dog food?
Dirty socks.
Puke-flavored, yeah. Earthworm.
Dead fish.
Which, by the way, that's fun to do. Just get those and do that with family and friends. But Nathan, what is your thought on, because you know Hops the Cat. You're pretty familiar with that beer.
I love Hops the Cat.
It's a great beer. So your thought on Hops the Cat with Marshmallow Peeps?
That's probably slightly better than drinking like a Bud Light. It just sounds, I feel like it would make the beer sticky. I just see, like, they would pour the beer and, like, lumps of marshmallow would come out through the pipes. I don't know what... The only thing I can think maybe marshmallow would be good with would be, like, some sort of stout, and you're going for, like, trying to make a s'more stout. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, an IPA, no. And jelly beans, I don't think you accomplish anything with jelly beans other than adding some sort of false candy sweetness to the beer. So I think that's dumb, too. I mean, I understand, I guess it was Easter. They're trying to do something fun with Easter, but stupid. Complete waste of a wonderful beer.
Yeah.
If maybe you were going to run that through your, you know, Yingling or something, maybe I'd be more inclined to go for it. But I feel like that's, you know, putting a bad taste in a wonderful beer.
So when I wrote the note of the idea for this topic into my notes section on my phone, I wrote flagrant misuse of a Randall.
Yes, that's what it is. Flagrant foul.
So, like you said, I agree that, like, they were looking at, you know, is Easter time, so what's very Easter? Jelly beans, peeps. Like, I understand that. But if you're going to go with those ideas, do something like a stout or like a beer that's not harder to get and more highly coveted, like Hops the Cat. Like, yeah, you're ruining that stuff. So the peeps, first of all, I know for a fact firsthand because I know someone who's tried marshmallow in a Randall, and I think they tried it with like a barrel aged imperial stout, which could have been decent. Because, you know, marshmallows will have like a little bit of a vanilla note to them. Mm-hmm. But for me, typically what it's going to give you is sugar. I mean, marshmallow is sugar. It's just puffed sugar. And Peeps, even worse, because it's puffed sugar coated in sugar. So all the Peeps probably were going to do was just add a ton of sugar to a hoppy beer. Mm-hmm. That sounds disastrous, in my opinion. Not to mention when the person I know did you try to do marshmallow in a Randall, it was a mess because literally it started to liquefy. Mm-hmm. And it started to gum up the Randall and gum up the tap line.
Yeah,
so
that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so then he had to clean it, like, right then. Like, he couldn't even really pour anything. He poured it, like one or two glasses, and that was it. It was just totally gummed up after that. So from the taste perspective, bad idea, but also from the logistics perspective, bad idea because, you know, you're going to have problems. The jelly beans, then, if it's all one flavor, I can understand it.
Yeah, if you were going to pick out all the red ones and it was, you know, the cherry or fruit punch, that could be interesting. Sure. For an IPA, or I guess even like the grape or the, you know, sour apple.
Sure.
Would be fine. But when you get that mix of stuff, that's got to be weird.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, from the Jelly Belly perspective, some of my favorites that would really go well in Hops the Cat would be, like, the pina colada ones.
Oh, yes.
Put all the just pina colada in there, or put just lemon lime in there.
Yeah.
Or just tangerine. Like, there's so many flavors that it could work very well with. But every flavor, first of all, it's mainly just going to give you sugar out of that because there's going to be no other discernible flavor going on. It's just going to be a muddle of just blech.
Not to mention with Hops the Cats and IPA, so it's relatively, you know, clear and yellow. If you were to add, you know, pina colada or even like a red-flavored jelly bean, you'd get a little bit of that color possibly coming through. I feel like with all the colors, you're just going to put a brown tinge to it, and it's probably makes it look gross in general as well.
Yeah. So ideas for, well, if whoever did this ends up hearing this podcast, ideas in the future for Randall's for Hops the Cat. More hops.
More hops, yes.
Fruit, such as peaches.
Strawberries.
Strawberries, mangoes, raspberries, really any tasty fruit. Vanilla beans, even. Vanilla beans would be a fun time.
Yeah.
But the peeps, the jelly beans, gimmicky, I understand. I understand the gimmick, but in actuality, probably not good. Probably not good. So, I just saw that on social media, and I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because the other thing is, I don't know about this particular liquor store, but typically you're trying to get people who know craft beer pretty well at the places. And I think from the interactions I've had with people at this liquor store, they know an okay amount about craft beer. But I don't know, was this her first time using a Randall, this particular person? I don't know. Do they have issues with, you know, like thinking about integration of food with beer? Because I know you gotta learn some of that stuff for sure. I would just say in those instances, if that's the case and your knowledge is relatively low, try it first. Like, try it on your own first, and then if it works, then do it at the store. Because you're potentially going to gross people out, which is not a good thing to do to customers.
So, also with the Randalls, I know you've been to Zero Day Brewing a couple of times.
Yeah.
But they have like a kind of like a Randall of the Day sort of thing with their, I guess it's just kind of like their house IPA, and they have kind
which
of
is a good IPA.
They have a different Randall. So the day we were there, it was like a mixed berry. So they had It was like strawberries, blueberries, blackberries running through, and it was very good.
Oh, nice.
So it that's what it was labeled as. Like when you ordered it, you said you wanted the Randall of the day. So it gave me the impression that they change it out pretty frequently. So they do a bunch of different things.
That's cool. The other thing to add into this is that you can do Randalling at home, like on your own. You don't even necessarily have to have like an actual Randall. Dogfish Head, I know, actually sells like in quote individualized Randalls, where it's actually kind of more like those like water bottle infusers. Okay. If you've ever seen those, it looks like a water bottle with like
the center core.
Yeah, the center core is like a little like colander type thing. You can just like throw fruit and stuff in there, and it just kind of steeps in it. So it's kind of like that, but I didn't want to buy one of those, so I was like, I can figure something out at my house. So we have a tea brewer that is one of the ones where it releases from the bottom. So, like, you put the hot water in, you put the tea in, and then it steeps for however much time you want to set on your timer. And then when it's done, you put the mug down, and you put the container on top of the mug, and it pushes the bottom up and releases out of the bottom. So all the liquid strains through the tea sitting at the bottom. So I was like, I can use that. I can try to use that. So on one occasion, I took some Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA, tried it beforehand. Then I cut up some fresh peaches that I got from the local farmer's market and put them in that tea steeper. And let it sit for a little bit. And I just kind of like experimented with it. I kept going back and then I'd pull a little bit out, taste it. And I was typically like, I'm not really getting all that much peach to it. So then I'd let it go a little bit more. I'd add a little bit more peach. Some of it I actually just like squeezed the peach juice into it and then threw the pulp in and let it sit. But I eventually got it to a point where it was tasting pretty peachy. And it was a nice kind of mix of the actual integrity of the beer itself with that little bit of peach added on.
That's a good beer to do it with because 60 minutes, that's kind of a very neutral beer.
Yes.
It doesn't have any really quality, you know, overpowering as far as bitterness or a specific hop flavor. It's just a very good, well-rounded beer. So it probably would work very well soaking up whatever you would put it in with.
Yep. So I would recommend that to other people. I think next time what I really want to do, we have coconut flakes at my house.
Oh.
I think I want to do that same thing and set coconut flakes in there and put in like an imperial stout and just let it sit for a while, see how that does. But, you know, I'm saying this just as an idea for people who are listening to just get creative. Get creative with your beer. Like, you can do stuff to it too. You know, it's not just the brewers who get to mess around with the beer. You can do it at home for sure. So, just thought it was something that I wanted to throw out there. Don't misuse Randalls, though, people. Really? God. I will say it's a bit of a pain in the ass, though, when I was using the tea steeper to clean the sediment out afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little challenging. But was it worth it? Yes. Oh, and the one drawback, all the carbonation was gone from that beer.
Oh, yeah. Just from it being agitated and sitting out so long.
Yeah. So, Just know that. So you have to be okay with having flat beer. But anyway, I feel like that topic is exhausted. And I feel kind of exhausted. But not too exhausted to drink more beer. Mystery beer.
There's always room for more beer.
Especially mystery beer, in my opinion. But, alright. A. Looks like an IPA to me.
Yep, so we kind of got a theme here. A has been the standard, you know, yellowish, mostly clear beer.
Agreed. And this is no exception. It's a little bit hazy, but I can still see through it. Pretty, a little orangish, but mainly kind of yellow. Got a little bit of a head on top. Smell? Oh. You smell coffee?
I smell coffee, yes.
I smell coffee, too.
There's only a couple IPAs that I know that have coffee in it. Now, could this be Master of Disguise?
I think...
because that's a golden stout.
This smells like a cream ale to me, though.
Yeah.
Like a coffee cream ale. There's a little bit of vanilla in there, too, actually. Smell coffee, vanilla.
Very surprising to
creamy.
Smell coffee in a lightly colored beer.
Well, I like when I get caught off guard like this. It's always fun. Yeah, definitely. But the coffee's not like super roasty coffee. It's like a more of a green coffee smell to it.
Yes.
Like young. That smells really good. That smells awesome. It reminds me of two beers that I've had that are like coffee cream ales, and one's vanilla coffee. No, actually, I think they both have vanilla in them. The one is Jailbreak. They're White Russian.
Okay.
Which is a tasty ass beer.
They're Scoville. It's a very good beer.
Yep, Welcome to Scoville is a nice one. That's like green pepper. I think it's an IPA, or I don't know if they just say it's an ale. And then the other one is Ballast Point's Calm Before the Storm, which is their cream ale with coffee and vanilla.
I think I've had that. It's good.
That's what this reminds me of. Although I hope it's neither of those, because I'd like to find out that there are other breweries doing this.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't smell any sort of hoppy note. Not to me. It's just vanilla-y coffee. Tons
any
of
chance
coffee.
It could be kind of like a Master of Disguise copy, where it would be like a stout, a golden stout.
Maybe. And that was done by Stone, right? Stone Brewing had done
yeah.
that one? Yeah. That's possible. I'm ready to try this. This smells awesome. Lots of coffee. Lots of coffee. I'm not really tasting vanilla, though.
I get a bit of a sweetness. I don't know exactly what it is, if it's like a... it would be like a little bit of the vanilla or some sort of fruit that's in there. Or
so,
it could just be the hop profile.
Okay, so I don't know if this has to do with you having talked about Welcome to Scoville, but I feel like after the green coffee, I get kind of this flavor of like green pepper flesh. You know what I mean? Like, it's got like that earthy vegetal,
yeah,
like,
bit,
I get
yeah.
that. And maybe that's coming from the coffee. Maybe that's a byproduct of the coffee in this.
Very intriguing.
It's coffee, and then it's just got like a light body afterwards with like a little bit of a hay note to it. Maybe a tad bit of honey. There's not as much going on as I would want, because honestly, I would like a significant, like, vanilla flavor in there, but I like the coffee in it. Coffee's
yes.
nice. Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Ready to go to B, then. This looks like a brown ale or a scotch ale. It's red. You have to really hold it up to the light, and you can see through, and it's very red. Yeah. A little bit of head to it.
A little bit.
Not a ton. Swirl it up, you get kind of like a light brown head showing up. Wait a minute.
Just kind of smell.
I can't smell like
anything. Not much of anything. Maybe just like a little bit of malt.
Yeah.
But other than that.
It smells like beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is what you would smell from. Is it Michelob that's naturally a little bit darker?
No, I don't think so.
No. There's.
Yingling.
Yeah, Yingling's dark. Maybe Modelo.
Okay.
Modelo is kind of like a
Modelo Negro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what... like, there's no...
no, there's nothing.
There's, like, no aroma. It's just, like, roasty, like, kind of roasty malt. and sweet. Like
maybe it's packed full of flavor on the taste buds.
I hope so, but this aroma does not make me hopeful. There's a little something on the end. A
little something, yeah.
Kind of nice.
It's a little bit, kind of like a bit nutty. But
yeah, I can see it. It's very smooth. There's nothing offensive about this beer. There is not a single note of flavor in this that I'm like, I don't like that.
Well, there's not much note of anything.
There's not a ton of flavor to it.
So there's really nothing to dislike, and there's definitely really nothing to like.
I get a slight chocolate, like a very, very low-level chocolatey note on the finish.
Maybe I get a kind of a...
Slightly roasty.
Slightly roasty, chalky mouthfeel.
Does it taste a little oatmeal-y to you? I feel like it's a little oatmeal-like.
Maybe. Now I know somebody makes a...
Oatmeal brown ale?
Oatmeal brown ale, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it tastes like. I don't dislike that beer, though. I kind of like it. I kind of like that beer.
I mean, it could be something that you would eat, you would drink with like a meal because it's not going to affect your taste. It would just kind of be a beer to drink,
yeah.
You know, with your meal.
Yeah. I like it for how clean it is and how it's got subtle flavor notes, and nothing's offensive. You know, it's just kind of like, just kind of easy, kind of nice, you know? I went back to A, but going back to it, I feel like the green coffee's even greener, and I get more of what I was talking about with that kind of like green pepper flesh.
Yeah, I agree with that. So it's been interesting also that A has been enhanced by B, I think, every time.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I agree with that one. What to do with these beers? I think I know what I'm going to do with B, but A is a little tougher.
You get a little more, if you do A and then B relatively quickly, you get a little bit of sweetness in B.
Kind of want to combine these.
That could be good.
I'm going to blend in my glass. Oh, there may have been a little bit of old stock left in there.
That's fine. It was
residual. Sense. Just residual.
So it lightens the color up.
I tried to do 50-50.
So like a copper. Dark copper, I guess.
Yeah, I tried to do 50-50. You still get a lot of that coffee in there, but I feel like you get a little bit of a slight woodiness, actually. It smells like a tad bit woody on the nose, then. Yeah. It's the worst of both worlds,
yeah, kind of. Yeah. So the coffee goes away, and you just kind of get a sweet nothingness. That's a bad...
It's not terrible, but it's...
They're better separate. Than
they are better together. Separate, definitely.
So, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but having done this when mentioning that B has enhanced A every time, have you thought about doing beer pairing? Because you've done a lot of beer food pairings, yeah. Beer ice cream pairings, maybe finding beers that could complement or enhance each other.
I have not thought of that, but we will take that to heart. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I get a little, maybe it's just subconscious. I feel like I just got a little bit of that pepper burn in the back of my throat.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying with that. Yeah, no. Yep. Okay. Ratings. I know what I want to do. So, I'll go ahead. I'm going to give A a 2. And I'm going to give it a 2 because I think it's a one-note beer for me. Well, 2 notes because I was saying the green pepper flesh. But it's mainly just coffee.
Yeah.
And I like coffee, but I want a little more. What are you thinking for
that? I agree with 2 on that. Had potential. It just needed to be a little something else to make it a little more well-rounded.
Yeah, the nose excited me, the flavor let me down. So, B, I'm going to go 3 on B. It seems like a pretty unremarkable beer, but I like it. It's nice. I feel like it's well-crafted. Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep B at a too. I do appreciate it's clean and there isn't anything wrong with it, but there's really nothing
outstanding
yeah. about it. So
well,
I don't want to give it that full notch above.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and let's be honest. I mean, this day and age, you have to stand out somehow in the craft beer market. So yes. when you're making a beer that's not all that outstanding, probably not going to sell all that much. All right, well, B is the winner overall, 2.5. So let's go ahead and reveal A first, the loser overall, 2. So not that much further back, but... All right, Schlafly, which is St. Louis Brewery, that's who does it. They're Double Bean Blonde, and it is 6.3% alcohol by volume. This does not surprise me because we had this at Savor. Was it last year or the year before that? Within the last 2 years, and we weren't impressed. We felt the same way about it.
Chocolate on the label with the beans.
Yes. So it says it's a golden ale that combines the prominent flavors and aromas of coffee and the smooth richness of chocolate.
Well, I mean, it was smooth, but I feel like if you're going to put a piece of chocolate on the label, it should maybe... have some chocolate taste in it. I didn't really pick up any chocolate.
Okay, if I'm going back and tasting it right now,
and you know you're trying to look for chocolate,
yeah, I can see some of it, but not much of it. So, you know, I just wish it was better. Sorry, Schlafly. And B, the winner overall, 2.5 is what is this? Oh my! Where did we get this?
That is a beer from Maine or Vermont?
It's from Vermont because it's by Fiddlehead.
Yeah, so Vermont. Company. So Erica's traveling nurse best friend, Ashley, would have picked it up on one of her travels, or it could have been her other friend, Megan, who loved the New England area and are constantly getting assignments up there because they like the area and the beer scene.
Oh, yeah. Vermont's beer scene is quite good. So it's Fiddlehead Brewing Company. This is their Hodad, which is chocolate vanilla toasted coconut porter.
So what's very interesting is when I had it, when we first got them, I enjoyed the beer. I thought that there was a lot of flavor in there. I didn't get any flavor out of this at all, and it's a porter.
I mean, it was canned like less than 2 months ago.
That should be fine. Yeah, it's very weird, because like when I had it, like I think I had it out of the can, but I enjoyed it. I wasn't like this is the best ever, but I thought it was pretty good, but I didn't get like any flavor out of this, which is weird, because I thought it did have decent flavor.
So I said that I like it. It's just nothing exceptional, yeah. Which is why I gave it a 3. Like a 3 is, I like the beer. I just don't think that the chocolate, vanilla, and toasted coconut really stand out a whole lot. But like I was saying, I gave it the 3 because I felt like it was an easy drinking beer that had subtle flavor notes to it that blended kind of nicely together. There's nothing offensive about it. It's just kind of like nice and easy. So I like the beer, but it's just not, you know, when you would read the label of what it is,
you would think something, you know, robust and
yes.
full of flavor.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not that. It's significantly more subtle. Good beer though. I've only had one other beer by Fiddlehead before when we were up in Boston, which we did an episode about our Boston trip, so you can go back to listen to it. We tried a Fiddlehead IPA when we were at, what was the restaurant? Highland Kitchen is a restaurant, which had really good food and a really good beer menu. And we had the Fiddlehead IPA, and that was quite tasty. So Fiddlehead's good with me. Like, the IPA was quite good, and I like this beer. So, hey. Sorry, Schlafly. That's good, though. I just finished it. All right. So that was it. Sorry there haven't been any more cat wrestling matches on the podcast.
Probably the only disappointment that we've had these past 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to shut this down right now. We're going to go drink some more of the beer, and we're going to play some Cards Against Humanity.
Possibly some trouble.
Yes. So actually, this brings up something for me. Well, first of all, one thing that I keep forgetting to say that I need to say. Brutal Battle has an Instagram account now. Rebecca started it. She's managing it. because I didn't want to have anything to do with it, but she's doing a really good job with it. So go ahead, if you have Instagram, check out the Brutal Battle Instagram. You can just search Brutal Battle. A lot of fun stuff. She's posting a lot on there, so way more engaged in social media than I have been, so that's a plus. But the other thing I want to say is, on the note of Cards Against Humanity, I just had an idea earlier today that maybe I should do a craft beer and Cards Against Humanity episode at some point and record that, you know, just drink some craft beers and play Cards Against Humanity, obviously talk about the beer up front. Would people have interest in hearing that? Because it would be very raunchy and bad. Yes. Obviously, I'd have a disclaimer at the beginning with some of the cards from that game saying, you know, cards being played and phrases being created aren't actually necessarily the opinions of the people playing the game, that type of disclaimer type thing. But if it's too much, maybe we do something more tame, like apples to apples. But just this kind of idea of playing a game like that and drinking craft beer and just having a good time. Let me know. So send in
a casual game of Go Fish in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Or
do you have Old Maid?
Old Maid. Yeah, exactly.
Clue.
Yeah.
Or not Clue, Guess Who?
Yeah, all of those. So if you want to weigh in on that, if you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, go ahead and shoot us an email, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. But thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you, Nathan, for being on for three.
Hey, you're welcome.
And awesome. So until next time,
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.